Businessweek points out that, I'm just quote some things to give you the flavor. They say over the past dozen years, meaning basically since the Reaganites took over, over the past dozen years, U.S. industry has conducted one of the most successful anti-union wars ever, with a chilling effect. The purpose, they're very clear about the purpose. They say management's basic goal was to undermine the rights that were guaranteed by the 1935 Wagner Act, which brought the United States into the civilized world briefly. They were very quickly undermined. If there's time, I'll come back to that. Some of those rights are still guaranteed by law, but as Businessweek points out, that's just a technicality. They don't make a comment on it, they just mention it. The basic method of this successful anti-union war was illegally firing thousands of workers for exercising their rights to organize. They point out that illegal firings increased by a factor of six for organizing from the late 60s to the late 80s, mostly during the 80s. Employers illegally fired, unlawful firings occurred in one-third of all representation elections in the late 80s. It's compared with 8% in the late 60s. And they quote a Harvard law professor who points out, even more significant than the numbers is the perception of risk among workers who think they'll be fired in an organizing campaign. And that's true. Any union organizer can tell you that. If the chances are that the employers will be able to simply fire people who exercise their legal rights with government protection, the risk of even entering into an organizing campaign, which is not small, there's plenty of sacrifices involved, as you know, that increases enormously. In this respect, this is very much like these radically mislabeled free trade agreements. It's a lot of talk about job flow and stuff like that, which nobody can estimate, and it's kind of the minor factor anyhow. The major factor is just the threat. The threat of that jobs can move is enough to drive down wages and working conditions in the wealthier countries, and good behavior is meanwhile guaranteed elsewhere by terror and repression that American taxpayers pay for, so that they can undercut their own jobs and harm plenty of other people, as well as by driving peasants into the urban labor force in third world countries by programs to force them into agro-export for American agribusiness, and by flooding the countries with subsidized U.S. farm products, what's called aid or food for peace by the more hypocritical commentators.